Welcome.
Going back to the
Patrick Shine, come forward. Gather around all the way over here, please. Guys in the back, let's gather around here, please. Don't be shy. Where's John Jay? Don't stand beside me.
I legit got here first.
Okay, fine. Okay, guys, let's start off by welcoming Jordan Butts back. Round of applause.
Who does not have a code book that is a licensed gasket?
Sorry.
Raise your hand.
I'm for helpers as well.
You're a licensed gasket, you got folks that have a code book.
I have an outdated one.
Okay. So those that do not have a code book, raise your hand up so we can see you. One. Everybody else has a code book? Here.
Not with me.
Two.
Three.
Four. And do you guys have code books at home?
Yeah.
But they're out of date.
Do you know that in the first three or four pages it says that you have to have a code book with you? So if you keep that in mind, if an inspector comes, you don't have a code book. There's only so many places you can hide in a house.
Download the app.
You can download the app if you want. Three. Who doesn't have a code book? One who doesn't have one. Two, three that don't have a gear with.
I have one, but it's like it's out of date. Like I need the new amendments and everything. Yeah.
Okay, so there's another new code book coming out.
That's why I waited.
But they haven't. So the code book is adopted. And then each province adopts their piece of the code book. That's the way it works. Right? So in Ontario, last time the code book came out, this code book comes out about every 5 years. Last time it took 3 years for them to adopt all of the changes that they wanted in Ontario. So until they are adopted, we don't need to use the new code book. Right? So we're not going out in any rush to buy one. If anybody needs one, you can buy the new one. And then what will happen is they will eventually give you the updates, the adoptions that they've made for Ontario. Okay, so every province is different. Okay, so it's a Canadian gas code with Ontario updates. We did talk to individuals about the TSSA audit program. Again, I cannot stress enough how serious we have to take this. We will be starting audits.
May.
So we have probably, what have we got? 40? We have 120 audits we have to do. And then from there, we have to see what's going on with each person. And then we have to decide how many more audits we need to do after we've met with each person. Okay. Are we doing the audits with them in the house or without them?
Without them.
So we're going to go to houses that you've been to and you've done checkups on, tune-ups, installations, just like TSSA would do after the fact. When TSSA comes in and does an audit, you guys are present at the audit. It's just one of the supervisors or somebody from our company, and TSSA has to be there. And they go through the whole job, and then we find out how many deficiencies we have, And then we have to write them all up, and then we have to correct, we have to do writ tags for every deficiency we see, and then we have to correct them, go back and correct them, and then clear the writ tags. So this is quite an onerous process, and it's going to take a while to do this. All right? Yeah, we have talked with everybody about the pictures that we need in the computers, in your tablets. I would stress that this has to be done on a very regular basis. This is part of the audit. And I can tell you that if we have TSSA here and we start doing an audit, because they're going to audit what we audit. Okay? And so if we tell them addresses that we think that we have everything in there, and then they start checking and they don't find what we think we have, they're going to start going through everything with a fine-tooth comb. And let me tell you, that's not something that you want to be present on. I don't know if anybody, I know there's a few of that have sat through TSSA meetings. They're typically not very pleasant. They don't have a lot of patience for what they consider people that don't know their livelihood or the gas codes that they're supposed to live by every day. Okay, so I cannot stress enough how important it is to make sure that you understand the code book. You know, we deal with, if there's 15 codes that we deal with on a regular basis, I would be surprised. But if I was to challenge anybody in the room, I'll bet you that you would have trouble with the 15 codes that we deal with on a regular basis. So please make sure you understand those codes very carefully, all right? Installers, we're going to be, you know, some of the things that we look at is the piping, the venting, how it's supported, gas tight, how it's supported,
gas tags,
fresh air. Fresh air is a big one. Last time we had an audit with TSSA, they went to what, 25 jobs?
Ballpark, yeah.
We probably had 23 that didn't have proper fresh air or combustion.
Anything with a natural draft appliance pretty much didn't have enough fresh air. So I recommend everybody get their code books out and read that section, go through that section in the code book. Okay? Make sure you guys are aware of how to use the charts so that you can calculate it. If I were to find one that didn't have enough fresh air, I'd probably talk to the technician that was there and ask them how that they would figure that out. And it won't go over very well if you guys don't know how. So I suggest you guys, recommend you guys read that section. Does anybody have any questions on the audit process? No?
Everybody understand how it works? Again, this is not, you know, I mean, this is something we have to do as a, we should be doing as a company, is to do diligence, but this is mandated by TSSA. So let's just make sure we have full cooperation. And, you know, we said in the meetings that if we find people who are doing things wrong, we want to train you, we want to help you to get better. You know, the first couple of times we're going to be very patient. I can tell you, if we're finding the same thing over and over again, patients might dwindle because it's a lot of work, and this affects our rating with TSSA, the whole company rating, not just your own rating. And I can tell you that if it gets severe enough, you'll be sitting in front of TSSA asking why you should keep your gas license in front of their board. So that's what they kind of want. Because I was part of the committee to design this audit. And it took us probably 6 to 8 months just to come up with a plan that worked. And I was there with probably 25 other contractors. And this is the plan that we feel is the best for each company. So it allows us to self-audit, allows us to make sure that we know what our people are doing, allows us to train our own people, and make sure that we can be the best at what we're supposed to be doing every day. All right? Yep.
So service goes in after we just did an install. Give you an example, single pipe, needs to be 2 pipe, room's too small. We're just going to go back and take care of it no matter what. Even if the customer didn't pay to have a 2 pipe installation done, they put in a single pipe. It wasn't quoted in the job. Is the customer going to be responsible to pay for it, or are we just have the scary gun automatically take care of it?
Question is, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. We have to take every incident that we come into as a separate entity. Right? There's instances that I know there's some townhouses, for instance. A lot of townhouses that we deal with, it's next to impossible to get two pipes in. You basically have one spot to put the venting, and that's between the window well and the sliding door in the back. And sometimes you just can't get two pipes in. So, you know, the part about combustion, yeah, we have to try and figure out how we're going to deal with that, right? But, and I'm sure, you know, I mean, some of the houses that we deal with are pretty expensive houses. And if we had to start carving up the ceiling over a bathroom, over tiles, over marble, I don't think people are going to be too happy about that. So we have to deal with how we're going to get that. So, you know, it's too vague a question to answer. I understand the intent of the question, but it's too vague to give you an answer.
Okay. Neil's point, though, is who's selling the job should have a better understanding of the combustion air.
Not the tech installing. Yeah. The tech has to stop the music when you were to get there and realize that there's a problem.
With these audits, is it, say we were there just to do a maintenance, is that the scope of what the audit's about, or the scope of the entire house?
The scope of the audit will be basically how you were to travel through the house, right? Like what you were looking at. If you're looking at a fireplace, I'm looking at that fireplace and everything within the area of that fireplace. If you're down in the boiler room, I'm looking at everything that's in that boiler room. So pretty much exactly what you guys did for your walkthrough of the house, I'll be doing. So it's not going to be, I'm not going to look at every single fireplace in the house. If there's one in a bedroom and you guys weren't in the bedroom.
They believe it's everything within eyesight. It's just like if you're going down the basement and you see a room where there's a gas fireplace, and it's in plain view, you're responsible for that. If you're heading to the furnace area, there's a hot water tank, and you're working on the furnace, the hot water tank is in plain view. You're responsible for that. Everything in plain view.
But Al, just to further, and I don't know if you're hitting this way or not, but so you're there to do service, but you also have to look to make sure that it's installed properly. Right? And that could mean supporting the venting, could mean whether it's bonded properly, you know, so it's not just about the maintenance portion of it. It's to make sure that the job is safe and installed according to the gas codes. So everybody needs to get up to speed on all of this stuff. And same with the installers. If you're going back on the job and we're doing, you know, we're installing, say, a hot water tank, and we see a furnace that needs maintenance terribly or could have a maintenance issue, on the flip side, you guys have to be aware of able to identify and know what to do. All right. This is also not just about writing a bunch of red tags and running out of the house as fast as you can, because that's what really annoys customers. This is about making sure that we deal with the customer directly, that we identify what the issues are, we give solutions. If we can fix it, if it's something small, and we don't have to worry about coming back, just do it. I mean, it costs us more to send somebody back than it does to fix some of these things, right? So if you have the material on your truck and it's minor, just correct it.
Do the installers all have bonding wire and pipes on their trucks?
I don't know, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bonding, you know, bonding according to the ESA has changed. So there's ways, different ways to bond, and one of them is you can run a wire from the furnace box to the switch box if the switch box is bonded properly. So there's a lot of what ifs that go on.
There's all the plastic piping. Any other questions?
Well, the other thing too that which I'm probably guilty of this is from our. When we put in a red tag, or you hang on to a red tag because you know that we're going to correct it the next day or in the next couple of days, we really cannot do that. We have to, if we have a red tag, we have to identify it. We do have 30 days to submit a red tag, but we still have to do the submission and then the clearing of the red tag to show that we did find something that was correct. And I think that's in our own best interest from a safety point of view to make sure that we're covering our ass. Heaven forbid something should happen. Yeah, we have to have a paper trail for a lot of this. So make sure your tags go in and the installers, you know that you're supposed to put them on Laura's desk or give them to Mark. Service guys, what happens with theirs?
Service guys, they can send them to
Mark as well. Outside him's office.
The red tag box.
Yeah.
Anything else on the TSSA?
Yeah. Just like as out of curiosity, those 23 out of 25. What's an example of like there was not enough fresh air? Like what was it? Like was it single pipe and the room was too small, not enough air makeup in the room? Like what were the issues? I guess just out of curiosity.
And usually a natural draft appliance in the room, and the room is just physically not large enough.
Okay.
For that, the volume of air in that room.
Okay.
For that appliance.
I see. Okay. Not a problem.
Power vent of water heater.
Oh, so like a conventional with like maybe a single pipe.
Exactly. The other big one was venting supports. So he was very big on making sure we supported venting per manufacturer's instructions and that we did not choke the venting. Go right around the venting and strap it up because that can choke the venting. It can pull on the venting. It was very big on venting and fresh air.
Thank you.
And not only venting of our appliance, but venting of any water heater, venting of anything that's in that room.
That's why pictures are great, because if the customer refinishes the basement after we do the install, take pictures during the install so it's in there, so you know the basement wasn't finished.
Good point. Any other questions? Good question. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to start with the second part of the meeting. Again, good morning, everyone. And I'm here to talk to you about your choices around the Union Drive and how your decision might impact all of us. Before I start, I want to make it clear, attendance here is voluntary. Anyone who wants to leave is free to do so at any time during this talk. We've done our social distancing, so everybody's still social distance. And I just want to make sure that everybody can hear me.
Yep.
Can't hear, scream out. As you can see, I'm referring to notes as I speak. I would much prefer to be able to speak to you spontaneously. There are strict rules for employers on what they can and cannot say during the meeting. You're not allowed to make promises of any sort or get into discussions of what it would be like in the future if you voted against or did not support the union. Even in these early stages of the unionization process, we have lost our flexibility to communicate and deal directly with you as individuals. We don't want to lose this ability permanently, which is why, in our opinion, we would prefer that you choose not to join the union. But there are some things I would like to say that are not a violation of restrictions that are placed on us. We met together at a similar meeting to this on more than one occasion. It is interesting how history repeats itself. This time, we have learned that the UA 787 is conducting and organizing a drive amongst you, asking you to sign union cards, and we have brought you all together to share the facts and our opinions about the drive. Firstly, I'd like to say to all of you, it has come to a point where you have to consider whether you want to join a union. I feel that we have stumbled in our jobs as managers. As managers, we want to be able to understand the concerns that you have and respond to them. It would appear that in our rush to grow the business, we have not had the right conversations with you, our team members. I am here today to ask you not to sign a union card and to give us the opportunity to work with you directly on your concerns. Yes, that is correct. We are asking you not to sign a union card. Some of you may wonder why I don't want you to sign a union card. Some might think that signing a card is okay, as there will be a vote one day. Those facts are not completely accurate. The UA 787 operates in the construction industry under the Labor Relations Act of Ontario. Unionization in the construction industry remains card-based for construction activities. For those that do not understand what that means, let me take a moment to explain it to you. In most industries, after a union submits signed union cards showing that 40% of team members in a proposed bargaining unit support unionization, the Ontario Labor Relations Board will order a secret ballot vote with the majority, 50% plus one vote, of ballots cast are in favor of unionization. The board will certify the union as the team member's exclusive bargaining agent. In Ontario construction industry, which is where UA 787 operates and our business falls under, union certification may occur without a vote taking place. Instead, unionization can be achieved by way of card check certification. If a union is able to show that more than 55% of team members in the bargaining unit have signed union cards in support of unionization, the board will typically certify the union without a vote. Where a union can only show between 40% and 55% support by way of signed union cards, the board will order a secret ballot vote in which the union must attain 50% plus one vote in order to be certified. Therefore, if more than 55% of the applicable bargaining unit has signed a union card, everyone in the applicable bargaining unit may be considered unionized. The board will likely not hold a vote if card check certification provides the majority of demonstrated support for the union. I'm sure you will join me and all in saying this feels like a whirlwind. I feel like I'm still spinning. I am truly sorry to all of you, as I feel that we have stumbled in our jobs as managers. This is not what we intended when we partnered with Right Time a few short weeks ago. Therefore, it would be no surprise to you to know that I am here today to ask you to turn down the union once again and give us the opportunity to work with you directly on your concerns. If after 6 months you feel things are not getting better, then exercise your right to unionize. We are just asking you to give us a chance, as in our opinion, we have not had an opportunity to work directly with you, with one another since Right Time acquired this business. So, Atlas Care and Right Time had a history of working with team members on individual concerns. Sometimes it's just the flexibility to leave early to get to a child's game or a concert. Sometimes it's paying for a course or sending you on training, accommodating special requests. These are all things we do without a union in place. You do not need a union to have this flexibility. We want to maintain a direct relationship with our team members so that we can respond to any individual concerns or interests that you may have without the involvement of a third party, for the need to ensure that we comply with the prescribed rules set out in the collective agreement. We have had a few bumps in the road to start, but I ask you to look at what Right Time has done elsewhere. They have grown the business while taking business from smaller HVAC contractors. We plan to continue to grow Atlas Care. We want you to be here on the ground floor of that growth. My final point is around the conversations with unions. Unlike us, the employer, the union, is free to promise you all sorts of wonderful things. My mother always told me, if it sounds too good to be true, it is likely untrue. I understand that the union has been promising all sorts of benefits, big wage increases, pension plans, increased benefits, and on and on. I just ask you to carefully consider whether the union will actually improve your overall terms of employment. In our opinion, we offer a competitive compensation package and attractive working conditions while working in an industry where margins are tight and customers are very price sensitive. You do this already without the involvement of a union or you having to pay union dues. Take a moment to consider your benefits. Benefits are important to all of us and our families. They are important to my wife, and it matters if I have benefits or if I don't have benefits. If the UA represents you, what happens to your benefits? In our experience, when a new group joined the UA 787, we have seen a gap in their benefits. This will appear when your atmosphere benefits end and the UA 787 benefit plan starts up. Ask the union to get an answer in writing. Ask them how long you will have to wait for benefits. We have seen this delay take as long as 3 or 4 months before benefits start up. Also ask the UA 787 what happens to your benefits when you don't work an entire week, or if you're laid off or on a leave. Get the answer in writing. Do they continue like your Atlas Air benefits do? The UA 787 benefits operate on an hour bank system. You are only entitled to benefits for the time that you have paid into the plan. If you do not know, ask the question. Be informed. I ask you to consider how all of the terms of your employment, whether financial, like take-home pay, or non-financial, like the ability to reach individual relationships with your manager, will realistically be affected if they are subject to the prescribed rules set out in the collective agreement. In our opinion, both you and Atlas Care have more to gain for working directly together than for dealing with each other through a union. Let's not let it get to that. I believe that we have great people here, and working together, we can build a significantly bigger and more successful business with long-term careers for all our team members. I ask you not to sign a union card. If you have signed one already and have changed your mind, email the union organizer requesting that your card be destroyed, as you no longer want to support the union. Please copy me on your email so that I can track everyone that requests cancellation of the union card. Give Atlas Care and Right Time the opportunity to hear and respond to your request before joining the union. Let's work together to make this mutually beneficial. In our opinion, you should vote no for unionization and refuse to sign a union card. Remember, if you're unsure, signing a union card is the same as supporting the union. Unless there is a vote, and if there is a vote, we ask you to vote no to the union. You must exercise your right to bargain directly with us and not allowing others to speak for you. This is your choice to make as team members. We will respect your decision, whatever it is. And I hope you will give this decision careful consideration. Thank you.
Thanks, Dick. So at this time, if anyone has any questions, I'm from HR, Raheem Shanley. I can try to answer some of your questions, but as Dick said, we're pretty limited in what we can and can't say. Unfortunately, that's the way the law is. I don't want to be in a situation where it's an unfair labor practice and you guys get automatically certified because I told you something that may be incorrect. So if you have questions, I can try to answer your questions. If I can't, I can try to refer you to where you can find answers. Otherwise, I'll just tell you I can't answer if I don't have the answer. Just for your information, I negotiate the contracts on behalf of the Employer Association with the UA 787. So I've done that since 2013. So I'm fairly familiar with both of their residential contracts. So if you have questions about the residential contracts, I can answer it in a factual way based on what I know. And anything else, if you have questions, otherwise, I think that's all we have. But it's up to you if anybody wants to say anything. Again, if you're supportive or against, it's open forum, right? Like, we're not going to stop anybody from saying anything. You have the right to your opinions. That's what we'll share with you, right? You guys have the right to make your decisions. So we're not going to force you one way. We're not going to tell you what something bad's going to happen, because nothing bad's going to happen. That's not the story here. What we're doing is sharing our opinion that we'd like to stay non-union. And we think that's the best thing for this business. That's our opinion. It's up to you guys in the end. Right? So.
John?
Are there right time companies that are currently unionized?
Yes, there are.
How many?
Off the top of my head, I think five. One in Winnipeg with the United Steelworkers. And all the ones that were unionized prior to Right Time acquiring them. So United Steelworkers in Winnipeg, Unifor in St. Catharines, or is it Hamilton?
Sorry, so we have Unifor in St. Catharines, which represents Mr. Furness as well as the call center. We also have CLAC, the Christian Labor Association in Canada, as Boomstar. And then you'll have UA 787 in Kingston, as well as Ottawa. And again, these were existing unionized centers, and they, again, they were just prior to that.
Yeah, when Right Time acquired them, they were already unionized.
Okay, to your point, I think that might stem everything into the fact that guys, musicians, there's underlying issues that's driving it. So, as management, you need to probably figure out what the hell's going on and address that scenario before.
We've said we are prepared to do that.
Yeah. That's my point to you guys. That part needs to be addressed and what created this.
Mm-hmm. It's very common. That's very common, and this is sometimes the wake-up call that employers get, that there are issues to work with. But yeah, that's what we're committing to, and that's what we're suggesting to give us the opportunity to hear the concerns, and then based on that, you guys can decide, right?
Sorry, a little off topic, but are you the new HR for Atlas Care, or is that Right Time?
Overall, for Right Time, but okay. Atlas Care is part of Right Time.
So okay, sorry, I wasn't sure because I knew the changes. Okay.
So I believe you guys have someone on who was on staff here, is on mat leave right now.
Oh, okay.
So I've been in touch with her, but she's off with her baby.
Right.
And when she's ready to return, she'll return.
Okay.
We'll have that discussion. I haven't met her yet, though. But
Okay, thank you.
If you have HR issues here at Atlas, you can certainly come and speak to me. You can
Sort of
speak to Tony, to Marina.
I was just wondering if that changed already.
And then we work with Raheem.
Or you can call me directly if it's something you feel you can't talk to these guys about.
I wasn't sure if we had one at the moment right now.
You can call, you can email, whatever. Like, my information is widely available. If anybody has anything you want to bring forward,
you can send your contact information via email if you don't want to discuss anything that, again, whether it's regarding this matter or anything.
We'll send out Raheem's information to everybody.
I tell us about yourself.
Like what?
Well, like your history. He just joined us 2 months ago.
Yeah, I've been only with the company 3 months now. So I'm fairly new, but I've been in the HVAC industry for going on over 10 years now. So I was at Reliance for the previous 10 years. So I understand what you guys do. I understand your business. I understand working with you. I understand working with unions, working without unions. I've seen it all. Before that, I was in public sector, and before that, I was in school, and I studied labor, studied HR, so, I have a bit of background in everything, and I have a good relationship with the UA and some of the other unions. So, again, it's not a personal thing for me, it's just facts, and that's all it is. All employers prefer to work directly with their people rather than through somebody. Any specific questions if you have, otherwise you can always approach me one-on-one if you want. I'll be around, I'm not going anywhere, so if you want to hang around and ask a question, I'm happy to chat, but that's it.
Do we have any other questions?
Can you match up the benefit, like with the union and our benefit, like dental coverage, stuff like that?
Sorry, which coverage?
Can you match up the benefits package?
Oh, can I match it up? Honestly,
side-by-side comparison.
I'm not completely familiar with what your package includes and what theirs includes. I would suggest
you look at what yours is and ask them for a copy of theirs. When I last asked them, I looked on their website, the last time I found it was very old, what they had posted on the UA website in terms of the benefit coverage. But I do know that the benefit coverage in the Toronto agreement is an hour bank system, and it's so for every hour the employer pays in a certain amount to the plan. And my understanding from my experience with Reliance is that when folks transition over, you pay so many hours, you have to have so many hours in the bank before your benefits start up. That's how they fund their plan, right? And then you have to have so many hours in the bank to continue. So if you run out of hours, you have to put in the hours yourself. So if you go on a paternity leave, or if you're a woman, you go on maternity leave, and you were to go off, you'd have to make sure you have enough hours. If you work for 30 years, you'd have lots of hours. But if you're fairly new, it takes time to build up those hours. But ask Ian. He's the rep, he knows. They can explain to you how it works. It's their plan in the end, right? And whether they choose to do something different, I haven't seen it in the past. They haven't waived. We've asked them in the past if they would waive for our new people when Reliance got unionized. By then, we asked them if they would waive the waiting period, and they didn't do it at that time. Maybe it's changed now. I don't know.
Doesn't it make sense just to give you guys, you know, the floor and work with every employee to work on the things that are bad before even going to the union? Like, did these people who created the union or bring the union in even think about that, or kind of try to work with you first? Like, that doesn't happen, I guess, or because we have a great team here. Like, I think everybody can say that Nemo and Dick have done a lot for everyone, and I don't see why, just because Right Time takes over the company, that all of a sudden, you know what I mean, there's all these drastic changes. Like, give them a chance to get through the door before, you know, bring in all these drastic changes. Like, that's just my opinion, but
yeah.
Everybody else is free to.
People are afraid to go to their supervisors, or afraid to go to whoever's in charge to voice their grievances. I've been here 30 years. Believe me, ask Dick, like, if there's an issue, we dealt with it. And so I don't know what happened that you guys don't feel comfortable enough that if whatever's happening or what's bothering you, you don't feel that you have a say. So, and I voiced my concern that to the union rep. He's talked to me. I said, well, if there's underlying issues that need to be addressed, and that's what has to start first before you go to this step.
We used to have a lot more open communication too, because way back when we used to have our meetings every Tuesday morning, people would voice their concerns. Now we don't have any meetings anymore, everybody's more distant.
Well, we've got this thing called the COVID, right?
Exactly.
COVID-19 has stopped us for about a year and a bit. However, it has not stopped me from reaching out to you guys, or you guys reaching out to me on any platform. And as your manager, I've said this at every single meeting, at the end of every conversation. If there's any issues, give me a call. Day, night, evenings, weekends. Everybody in this room knows. You call me at 2 in the morning and I was there for you to serve you.
Nemo's always there to answer your questions, guys.
Always.
He's always there for us.
Always.
Every meeting I've had, I've always said, if you have any issues, you know where I sit, you know what my phone number is, text me, email me, call me.
Oh, they're always on.
Dick was in charge of service. When Dick was in charge of service, guys, you could always go to Dick as well.
And that goes for me too, right? If you guys have something you don't feel comfortable talking to Nemo about or Dick about, and you think, you know, maybe Nemo doesn't like you, and that's what you think, and you don't want to talk to him, come talk to me. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to power and take over your thing and solve it for you, but I will give you impartial advice. And if you need, I'll go to bat with you with these guys and say, look, this doesn't look right? Like, what are we doing here? So why don't we fix this? And I can make changes like that. But that's what you have, right? Like, you're part of a bigger company now, and you have access to more things. But you work in a fairly competitive industry, right? We all can agree on that. If these guys don't pay you the right wage, you'll go next door to work for the other guy's HVAC company, because that's just the way it is. I know, I recruit in this industry. We've got to pay the right wages to get the right people in the door. People don't stay otherwise, they leave. Because HVAC is, there's not enough tradespeople out there. We've got to get more tradespeople and more people in the industry. It's a shortage, right? So wages shouldn't be an issue.
We all know what the grievance process looks like non-unionized. What does it look like unionized if we have an issue?
You'd have to ask the union that and go through their collective agreement. It's all listed in the collective agreement. There's a grievance process. But again,
can you speak about how it works with the other right time companies?
So honestly, there's not many grievances in the UA world. I'll be honest, like, they're pretty good. Like, there's an issue, the union will reach out and say, look, this guy has an issue, what do we can do about it? Let's work on it. Same as some guy coming up to us and saying, look, I have an issue, let's work on it.
What's the grievance process that happens here?
Thanks for calling me, man.
Pretty much.
And that's good enough.
And you want to take care of it?
Yeah. The union has no control on how Atlas runs their day-to-day operations. All they do is look after you guys. That's all they're mandated. They can't tell Atlas how to run their shift program, how to run their day-to-day operations, what time this company starts, what time they finish. They can't, that's, they have zero say. All they are protecting is the worker. So, if I go in, I'm not going to change the hours that Atlas operates.
I would ask the question of how much they're doing with this bus.
2 hours a month, guys. 2 hours a month of your money.
Sometimes more.
It's 2 hours a month plus, it says on the wage chart, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was circulated around. It's 45 cent field dues, that's per an hour. 45 cents per an hour work plus 2 hours a month. And that's straight from their collective agreement.
As we said in the past, and I said on the meeting on Friday, there isn't an issue that's happened in this company that we haven't been able to resolve to date. So I'm not sure what would come up, but we can't, as a group, resolve the issue.
So good question. Benefits, do the comparison, ask questions, find out, do they start immediately, do you have to wait? Union dues, wages, grievance process are important, right? So again, if those are things you guys are interested in, you've got to bring them forward and talk to management and say, look, we feel there's no formal process. I don't think anyone said no. All right, so again, we're asking you, give management a chance, give Atlas Care, give Right Time a chance to work directly with you.
Do you notice a significant culture change between unionized companies and non-unionized companies?
It varies. They're all different. All companies are different. Some is the same as the day before, some slightly different. Depends on the people, I guess, too, who work there. I guess everybody makes up their own culture within their own companies. And then you also see people moving in and out, right? So whoever I see here today, we meet again in 3 years, I bet you'll be different faces, right? I might not even be here. Who knows, right? Dick might be retired by then. There might be someone else in his position. Some of you guys might have moved on. Some of you might be working for a competitor or change industries completely. So it's odd to see people who've been here a long time like you have, but that just doesn't happen anymore, right? Like, I spent 10 years in my last two companies. I'm a rare person to do that, 20 years over two companies. People just don't do it anymore. Anyone else? Okay. Again, I'm around. I'm going to explore. Check out this place. This looks really cool. It's a nice little office.
Right, thank you, everybody, and let's have a safe, good day for everybody. Thank you.
Thanks. Oh, I got a few now.
Make sure the customers are satisfied.